This is Retire Ready, where we break down retirement planning and make it easy to understand so you can live your golden years to the fullest. If you're tired of feeling overwhelmed by retirement planning or unsure about where to start, you've come to the right place. Planning your retirement starts now with your host, Kyle Hammerschmidt, founder of Mocan Wealth, and co-host, Colin Hayes.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Retire Ready podcast. My name is Colin. I'm here with Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing today?
Doing great. We're going to figure out if you want to start paying taxes now or should we defer those taxes to a later point in time at the end of the day. Is there a right or wrong strategy? Kind of depends upon your circumstances, household, single, married, amount of assets saved, how far from retirement, already retired, how much money you're going to spend or you're not going to touch it. You know, what is that total lifetime tax bill going to look like? When are you taking your Social Security? But we're really going to wrap up the process here today with step five and step six. So
yeah, like Kyle said, we're going to cover steps five and step six of a tax-efficient retirement plan. And like Kyle said, just mentioned there, there's a lot to it. And so let's just jump right into it, Kyle, with step number five, which is looking at, you know, paying now with taxes, paying later with taxes. Kind of walk us through this step here.
Yeah, so tax strategy, tax planning, remember, this is completely different than tax prep. Tax prep is usually looking at now and then backwards, where tax planning is really tax-efficient strategies of really how can you lower your long-term tax bill over the next 20 to 30 years? What's the best philosophy to lower that average tax rate long-term? So what you're going to be doing for the most part is making a decision of should I pay now? Or should I pay this later on? At the end of the day, if we had a crystal ball and we knew for sure 100% that when you spent your tax deferred money in the future, it would be at a lower tax rate, you know, it makes those decisions a little bit easier. But we have to understand the pros and the cons. And that's what we're going to do is like, again, most of you, when you retire, your income levels are up here and they will come down a little bit. But paying now versus paying later, that's really the decision you're going to make. Paying later has pros and cons. Paying now has pros and cons. So really, let's break this up into a couple categories. So if you're saying, I would rather pay that tax bill later and just keep taking the deduction. So what that basically means is you're going to take the deduction today and pay those taxes later on at whatever those marginal or those federal tax rates are at that time. So from a retirement perspective, your retirement accounts, go back to those funnels. This is going to be your traditional 401ks, your 457s, or those 403bs. Or this could mean like you're going to keep putting new contributions into these accounts, which means you're taking the deductions and bringing your household income now. So again, for some of you, if you're in that 32-35% bracket, those super high tax brackets, like what's your spending going to look like in retirement? You might have some deferred comp where you're taking a bonus pay structure or something when you're going to defer that pay instead of paying taxes on it now, you're going to defer that money out into the future into retirement when you spend those dollars. You might be putting money into like a traditional IRA up to $8,000 if you're over 50 with the catch-ups. Again, there's income thresholds to qualify for those or like a SEP IRA. Basically, what that means is you're going to either take the deductions today. Okay, what's the pros and cons of that? But also, what's the pros and cons of paying that tax later in retirement, whether it's like from selling more shares to making your Social Security more taxable? How does this work in bull and bear markets? Or this could potentially even mean, you know, if you're in that 10 to 15 year window from retiring or just retired, does it make sense to keep putting new money into those? Or you're sitting back. I've listened to a couple podcasts. I've done some homework. I think I have way too much money in this bucket here. Like, or what you're basically saying is you're going to keep a majority of your money in these tax later buckets. So that's kind of what those would wrap up to. Or you might say, all right, well, I took a step back, kind of took my emotions out of this and like, I'm super heavy. Like majority of my savings are in 401ks and IRAs. And I would tell that individual, like, you're not alone because most of the people that I talk to or sit down with, a lot of their money is in these 401ks and IRAs, which is not the end of the world. It's like, you've done a great job at saving, but now we need to focus on the return of your money. So you might say, okay, like, I think I should start paying some taxes today to give me some better balance in retirement during the years when there's good and bad stuff going on. Taxes are up, taxes are down, bulls and bear markets. We want to spend more money. So you're saying, all right, I want to pay tax today, and then I want to spend this money like tax preference or tax-free later. So these next couple options are best for someone who might be like 5 to 10 to 15 years out from retirement, where like I call it the tortoise approach, is like you're going to do it the slow way. Roth 401ks or Roth 403bs or just Roth IRAs in general. You might say, all right, well, I'm going to work 7 more years and I can put, I'm maxing out my traditional 401k and I have plenty of money in my tax bracket right now. Why not switch this over to the Roth 401k and pay the taxes? I'm going to put about $30,000 into my Roth 401k every year for the next 7 years. Okay. So again, that might do it. Or, and then also contributing to Roth IRAs, you could do the non-deductible IRAs, post-tax 401k contributions, HSAs, 529s, or even cash value life insurance. You're paying the tax and putting it in your retirement accounts. And you'll get that money out tax preference later. Again, those options that I just mentioned, the tortoise, you have a long time horizon. You might be able to do that route. Cause really, if you're like, well, I'm going to retire in 5 years, I've got $1.5 million in my IRA and I'm going to switch everything over to my Roth 401k, but I'm only putting in like $9,000 a year into my plan. Well, $9,000 over 5 years, you're not going to have enough in your Roth IRA to really move the needle, because you're ignoring your big $1.5 million tax problem. We call it the millionaire IRA problem. It's a good problem to have, but at the end of the day, how are you going to defuse this ticking tax time bomb? So the slow approach is really for like younger, someone who's maxing out employer plans, and has about 5 to 15 years to kind of to make it worth it. For most of you, you're going to do these advanced strategies. You're going to take you kind of looked at everything from a holistic approach and said, okay, I don't want to kind of be pigeonholed in just tax deferred. I have some room in my tax brackets, or I want to maximize my Social Security. I just want to create more balance so we can spend more money early, or my spouse is taken care of if I go, or our kids don't get hammered in taxes. I just want to create better balance. You're going to have to typically do advanced strategies. And these are really the harder ones to execute, because you're going to swallow that tax pill up front. So you might do bracket bumping Roth conversions. Bracket bumping Roth conversions you're like, okay, we got $40,000 of room inside our 22% bracket before we go up to the 24% bracket. But, you know, a lot of times you shouldn't just stop at your tax bracket. I always tell people to like do some homework and just see like how much room you have. But if you just go to your tax bracket, like, you did a $40,000 conversion, like that might not be enough for your plan. Your plan might say to make it worth it, you need to do $90,000 for the next 6 years. So you're going to go up into the next tax bracket, and then you kind of have to look at the numbers and say, okay, like what did that do to my average tax rate? And then obviously, how am I paying those taxes? The nice part about that is then you're going to kind of flip it around and see like, when could I potentially spend these dollars in retirement? Versus if I were to wait. So bracket bumping, you might go from 12 to 22, 22 to 24, 24 up to 32, 10 to 12. It just kind of depends. So those are advanced strategies where there's more to it than just looking at filling up your tax bracket. Number two would be market timing Roth conversions. Again, we're not talking about trying to time the market, outguess the market. Hey, let's put this money in gold. Let's go to bonds. Let's go to cash. Let's go all in on tech. Like, timing the market from an investment perspective, from our philosophy, doesn't work. Because when you try to time the market, you have to be right twice. You have to be right when you sell and then when you buy back in. And usually over a long period of time, those individuals that do that, you tend to underperform the indexes, because they're emotional about when they get in and out and when they sell. They usually lock in losses and get in after it's already up. So market timing Roth conversions is you have a fold-out financial plan built out. And it basically says if this portion of money, let's just say we got 25% of your money you don't need for 10 plus years after you retire, it's usually going to be the most aggressive account. So, hey, when this money drops 20%, just making a number up, we're going to do a $80,000 Roth conversion. The plan might say you only need to do $50,000 each year for the next 7 years. But when the markets drop and you time it, right? We're just basically saying we're going to move more money and pay more taxes when the markets are down, because typically after you experience these bear markets, you're going to have bull markets. So we want to move more money over when the markets are down, pay more tax. But think about this. If you did it in 2022 when the markets were down, you paid extra taxes, painful. And then you kept your money invested in like diversified equities or whatever you're invested in for growth. You would have been rewarded in 2023 and so far in 2024 for those decisions. So that's market timing Roth conversions. That means when a portion of your money drops a certain percentage, a drawdown, you're going to move more over than what the initial plan said. Backdoor Roth conversions. This would basically be for high income earners. You don't qualify to fund your Roth IRAs. Maybe you've maxed out your Roth 401ks. You can make a non-deductible contribution to your IRA and then leave it in cash and the next day move it over. For again, most of you, unless you're a high income earner and pretty young, you're going to do those top two. Bracket bumping Roth conversions or market timing Roth conversions. Why would you do that? Is because maybe you're trying to limit your RMDs. You don't want your RMDs to kind of bump you up tax brackets. It's called RMD maximization. You don't want to make your Social Security more taxable. You don't want the government being telling you to force you to sell some shares in up and down in markets. And then if you have these taxable brokerage accounts, you might do some tax loss harvesting and gain harvesting throughout the year or towards the end of the year. Again, when you're doing taxable investing, you have to understand what are you doing here? Are you making an investment decision or a tax decision? Do you really want to sell the winners that are, you know, going up high, you know, bringing you all your growth? Or do you really want to sell low and sell your losers? So there's usually some conflict of interest there when you're trying to do tax loss harvesting. But those are really your three options. You're either going to pay today or pay later. And you can't really just like try it out for 1 year, because like tax strategy and planning is really a commitment. It's usually like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years of strategy, and then you start reaping the reward. So those are basically all the options. And then we kind of walk back to, you know, your traditional withdrawal strategies. Remember, traditional, it's not like bad. It's just, I call it naive. You're basically going to have one or two Social Security checks coming in retirement. So everything, you got one or two Social Security checks, and you're like, okay, there's $55,000. Everything else we need is going to come in from tax deferred buckets. Maybe you're going to take out like $60,000 from your IRAs, or there's $20,000 from pensions and $40,000 IRAs to kind of solve your lifestyle. And that $55,000 of Social Security and $60,000 from tax deferred buckets, IRAs, tax at marginal federal tax rates, you're going to be in about the 12% marginal rate. And then your average tax rate's around 7.8%, depending on how you file. Again, this is a married couple. 2024 over 65 taking the standard deductions. They're going to pay about $8,000 in federal taxes, about $42,000 of their Social Security is taxable, about $42,975. At the end of the day, you could say, wow, honey, like, look, I told you when we retire, we're going to be in a lower tax bracket. You are correct. From when you were working versus that scenario, you are in a lower tax bracket. You're paying less in taxes than you were. The question is, if you're going to use this for the next 30 years, will your cumulative tax bill be lower if you were to do more of a tax-efficient strategy? Can you live with the pros and the cons of, you know, taking this approach? And then remember that tax-efficient strategy is basically saying, like, can you add in future tax strategies such as Roth income, capital gains income? You know, if there's a household out there that had $70,000 of Social Security, they take out about $17,000 from their IRAs each year, or pensions as a whole. Like, that was their sweet spot, was to show like $17,000 to $18,000. They got about $15,000 in capital gains or qualified dividends, and then their Roth was providing them like $15,000 a year. So really what they have in that Roth is about $300,000 to $400,000 of principal to provide that $15,000. On that strategy right there, they're going to pay a little bit over $1,000 per month in federal taxes, and their average tax rate's 1.8%. Of that $70,000, about $25,500 is taxable. So that's really what you're deciding on, is pay tax now versus paying later. Which of those strategies do you want? Planning in general just gives you more options when like stuff's going on, life happens. You know, why would you walk through these steps and create like a tax efficient retirement plan? Because I hate to break it to you, your number one expense in retirement and before retirement is going to be your tax bill. So I would really try to figure out how to potentially lower that tax bill over your lifetime. So there's benefit, there's pros and cons. Number one, increase your account type diversification. So you want to have money at least in your tax deferred accounts, which most people have, but then at least have, figure out, like, should I have money in tax free and then taxable brokerage accounts? Like, the more diversified you are in how your money's taxed and how it shows up on your tax returns and how many shares you have to sell in retirement will dictate and move the needle over those 30 years. You'll be better prepared for bear markets, aka when the markets do go down in retirement, you'll avoid selling more shares in down markets. Again, I think that's a pretty good thing, is when you're forced to sell low, you don't have to sell as many shares. You can start spending your Roth money so it provides you tax-free income at some point. If you're married, one of your Social Security checks is going to go away. You can bring in Roth income to replace that loss of income, so making sure that surviving spouse doesn't bump up tax brackets. And also your beneficiaries will be able to inherit those Roth accounts for 10 years. Remember that first episode we talked about mastering provisional income? Having tax efficiency and doing tax planning kind of sets you up for success when you have greater control of that provisional income and how your Social Security is taxed. And then the last one is just, you'll be better prepared for tax law changes. Like, I can't guarantee anything here, but usually taxes go up and taxes go down. So for 30, 40 years moving forward, what are you going to do when taxes go up? What are you going to do when taxes go down? What are you going to do when markets go up? What are you going to do when markets go down? So you just be better prepared. Some disadvantages, we have to highlight these. If you have no strategy, it could lead to a higher overall tax bill. Maybe you are doing some Roth strategies right now, but you're not properly executing it. Maybe you're just filling up your tax bracket. Maybe you are doing money into your Roth 401k, but you're like, hey, I need $15,000 per year for my Roth, but I only have $100,000 in there when I retire. Like, at the end of the day, like, you're still going to need a bunch of money from your IRA. So you might have accidentally overpaid on taxes up front in your IRA to fund your Roth, but you're also going to, it doesn't really save you much in retirement because you still need to take out more IRA income. And then it just makes your Social Security more taxable. So there has to be a strategy of, like, why you're doing it, how long, what's the taxes paid, what's the benefits of doing it. It could hike your Medicare premiums for a few years. You know, Medicare, when you're on Medicare, they're going to look back every 2 years at your tax returns to see how much income you showed. So you got to be aware of that. If you need the funds within the first 5 years, there's rules. So basically, if I did a $100,000 Roth conversion in 2022, and now it's worth $140,000 today, I can touch that $100,000 tax-free, but I can't touch the growth for 5 years. The nice part about the Roths is it's first in, first out. And then the last one is, if you do the Roth conversions under 59 and a half, which is awesome, you're being proactive. If you withhold federal and state taxes from those conversions, you will be subject to penalties. So you're going to want to pay those tax. If you do a $50,000 Roth conversion, I would say 0% state, 0% federal, pay the tax bill from somewhere else. So,
yeah,
that's really kind of summing up those solutions there.
So that's step five of the tax efficient retirement plan, figuring out, you know, paying now taxes, paying later taxes. Moving on to step number six is the ongoing management. Like Kyle said, this isn't like one time and you're done. It takes, you know, ongoing management of these tax efficient retirement plans. So Kyle, what is important to think about with the ongoing management of this plan?
Yeah, remember when we started, we said not all money is tax the same. You have to be able to understand that. Having different buckets and funnels that's taxed differently, you know, really what it comes down to is like a pro rata strategy where, like, it's tax-free, tax-deferred, taxable, Social Security. Those are four different incomes taxed at four different rates with different equations. So ongoing management, like retirement planning. One of the biggest mistakes that I see people make is it's like they don't understand about it's ongoing management to maximize it. It's not like I'm going to retire January 1, 2025. It looks good to go. We're good to go. Like, you're only looking at that day in time, but you're not saying, like, okay, what about in 5 to 10 years? If we did this, what does my scenario look like here? So ongoing management, like, why would you do that? Because who should engage in ongoing tax planning? If you think tax rates will be higher in the future, no brainer. Okay. those who have excess room in your tax bracket. So the law states right now, January 1, 2026, the current tax rates would sunset back to what they were. Maybe you have a lot of room in your tax brackets right now to do a lot of tax strategies and plannings, and it doesn't really raise your average tax rates a whole lot. Maybe you got cash sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you're like, well, I am maxing out my employer plans, but I already have like enough there today to fund my retirement. Does it really make sense to keep adding more money into the pile? Maybe you're like, okay, maybe I should just put 5% into the plan, get the 5% match. The rest of the money is going to cash flow to my bank account. And I need to start moving money over in big chunks like we talked about in the podcast. If you're married and you're concerned about spousal planning and you don't have like a bunch of whole life insurance, it might make sense for you to do tax planning. So upon death, you have a Roth income coming in to replace that loss of Social Security check. If you have a majority of your savings in tax-later accounts, you're like, hey, I understand I don't have to get it all over to Roth, but I just want better balance in the household situation to be better prepared in like up and down markets, high tax seasons, low tax seasons. When our lifestyle changes in retirement, maybe we want to spend more our first 5 to 10 years, or we're going to have unexpected expenses. If you truly want to maximize Social Security, yes, you could wait till 70 and get more gross, but like, at the end of the day, how are you going to master provisional income to keep more and maximize it over your lifetime? I would say those are kind of the biggest ones. And I always take people back as like, a lot of the stuff we talk about in the podcast or in our retirement masterclass is like, it's like the first time they're hearing about it or we've heard about it before, but our pie chart person who just sees us once a year doesn't really talk about this. They just, you know, talk about the portfolios and the models and what the markets are going to do and how we're, you know, we're on course, blah, blah, blah. But yet this, like, why are we not doing this today? One of the big reasons is taxes are not intuitive. We must go against conventional wisdom to accomplish your goals. It might make, what that's basically saying is instead of deducting, you might pay more now to pay less in the future. But that's not like what everybody else is doing. You're not going to follow the herd. So I'm going to sum this up. 6 mistakes that can impact your retirement planning. Assuming you'll pay less in taxes, okay, in retirement. I'm talking about in retirement compared to a bunch of other strategies, not versus when you were working. Not planning for Social Security taxation. You're going to forget about Roth IRAs and 401ks while you still have a chance. You're going to ignore taxes altogether. You're just going to focus on your pie charts and your return on your money, not the return of it. And you're going to keep paying your 1 to 1.5%, focusing on the return on your money, not the return of it, which we just talked about. And number 6 is you're going to withdraw from your retirement accounts in the wrong order. I always tell somebody you should have a primary order of withdrawal strategy and then a backup, basically saying if like markets were to flip or like taxes go up, you have a backup philosophy in how your money's going to be spent.
Yeah, and if you hear this, you know, these 6 steps that we talked about, and you want to learn more, we hold multiple retirement masterclasses throughout the year in the Olathe area. There's more information down in the links below that you can click and see, maybe attend one of those classes. But Kyle, any like lessons or tips for people as like, you know, they go through this and they hear about these retirement, you know, tax efficient retirement planning, like what are some key takeaways?
I would say the biggest thing I always hear is like, yeah, I know it sounds good. Yeah, I know we need to do it. That's a good idea. But like no one really ever executes it and does it. It's like, are you a doer or are you a thinker? that's what it comes down to. How are you going to implement it? Are you going to implement it? Are you going to go back to your Morgan Stanley or your Fidelity or Edward Jones person and say, hey, can we do this? What do you think about this? Because at the end of the day, it wasn't done up front. It wasn't important enough to do day one. So like, it's just like executing, like doing nothing literally changes nothing. I always tell people, get away from being a professional financial procrastinator. Like run the numbers, do some math, check off some boxes, invest some time, go through a real planning process. And if that's not enough, you have to come to a retirement workshop multiple days to learn about it and how to do it on your own. But most of you don't feel comfortable doing it on your own. But, you know, some of you do and you're going to do it properly, but it's making sure that you take it and you do it and you then you got to stick to it. That's the hard part.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode and the 6 steps to a tax-efficient retirement plan. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
You've been listening to Retire Ready with Kyle Hammerschmidt. Planning your retirement starts now. The word retirement shouldn't scare you. Our passion is to be here to help you navigate every step of the way. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, for more education and information, hit up RetireReadyAcademy.org. And if you're ready to start your retirement planning today, go to our website at MOCANWealth.com. MOCAN Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor with the state of Kansas and Missouri and may only transact business with residents of those states or residents of other states where otherwise legally permitted, subject to exemption or exclusion from registration requirements. This communication is not intended as an offer or solicitation to buy, hold, or sell any financial instrument or investment advisory services.